Hello, everyone, and welcome to USAID's fiscal year 2018 first quarter business forecast review call. My name is Matt Johnson. I'm the Communication Director for the Management Bureau's Office of Acquisition Assistance. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. I also want to thank everyone who submitted questions to our business forecast this quarter. We received over 54 pages worth of questions this time, so we appreciate your continued interest and continued questions around the forecast. I have a number of folks in the room with me today who want to briefly introduce who you'll hear speak. First is Mark Walther. He's our Acting Director of USAID's Office of Acquisition Assistance. We have Deb Broderick, who's our Deputy Director in the Office of Acquisition Assistance. Tanisha Alston, who's a Senior Program Manager in USAID's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. And Randy Tift, who is a Senior Advisor in USAID's Office of Acquisition Assistance. Before we get started, I just want to provide a couple of housekeeping items. We have muted all participants on the call. During the call, we will be going through questions that were submitted to us through the business forecast. In addition, we are recording the call, and we'll post the recording as well as a transcript of the call on our business forecast webpage later today. Additionally, after the call, we will be posting the full list of responses to the questions that you submitted to us. Once everything has been posted, we will notify you through our Twitter handle, which is at USAIDBizOps. And our email distribution list, so be on the lookout for that later today. Now to get started, I want to turn the call over to Mark just to provide a few introductory remarks.
Thanks, Matt, and good morning, everyone. I would like to echo my thanks to everyone for joining us on the call today and for submitting the questions to the forecast. We recognize that this quarterly engagement, both the questions and responses in the call, are an important part of how we do business. We are committing to continue these efforts throughout the upcoming year. Before we get into the Q&A, I'd like to briefly cover a few highlights from FY17. Last fiscal year, USAID obligated $17.25 billion through acquisition and assistance mechanisms through roughly about 24,000 transactions. In terms of dollars and transactions, it was the largest amount to date. As comparison, in FY16, USAID awarded $16.4 billion through about 22,700 transactions. To give you a further breakdown, approximately 31% of our funding went into new awards, while the remaining amount was obligated through existing awards. Following a similar pattern over the last few years, there was a fairly even split between contracts, grants, and cooperative agreements. Approximately 31% went to contracts, 38% to grants, and 30% to cooperative agreements. I'd like to highlight that we are working on our annual progress report, and we have most of the details on the FY17 data, and we'll be finalizing that, so please take a look out early next calendar year, and we're hoping to get that released to all of you. I would also like to take this opportunity to highlight our acquisition and assistance, our A&A labs. As many of you know, we launched our A&A labs in June of 2016. The goal of our labs are to enhance the agency's mission through workforce development, as well as testing and scaling of innovation in A&A. The lab follows a hub-spoke model, with the hub here being in Washington, D.C., our director's office, and the regional labs coordinating activity in the field. During this past year, we launched the ASEAN Plus Regional Lab. We also launched an A&A mentoring program. We have continued to build out our business manager toolkit and coordinated regular community of practice calls with our contracting and agreement officers throughout the world. We also have an A&A expert help desk that continues to provide support to our staff as well. As many of you know, one of the biggest successes in FY2017 was the launch of our live feed business forecast. Moving away from quarterly forecast has helped to improve the accuracy of information on the forecast and the efficiency in which we are able to communicate with you. As updates are made in the internal A&A planning system, they are automatically published on the live feed. At the end of the fiscal year, we pulled metrics on the usage of the live feed forecast. And from January to September this past year on the forecast, we had over a 500,000 hits on our web page, which is quite astounding. Just as a comparison, while it's not apples to apples, in FY16, the quarterly forecast was downloaded about 67,000 times. So we definitely appreciate the interest and use of the forecast, and we are always looking for ways to continue to improve and enhance it. In closing, as far as the introduction, I'd like to highlight one final item, the recent Procurement Executive Bulletin, or PEB as we call it, 2017-02 on exemptions and allowability of host country taxes. The PEB provides information, consideration, and best practices to support contracting and agreement officers in analyzing and resolving issues related to the allowability of costs of host country taxes. The PEB was released in November, and it really is a great example of working together with you, our partners, to identify challenges and solutions. And we really appreciate when you bring these type of issues to us. We worked with our controllers, our legal counsel, and our contracting officers around the world. And while each country has a unique perspective on host country taxes, we did want to make sure we had some parameters and guideposts out there to help contracting agreement officers in this area when partners are doing all their due diligence but are still having problems in the host country getting recovery. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I want to turn over now to Tanisha just to provide a few highlights and intro remarks just on work with small businesses.
Good morning. On behalf of Mauricio Vera, the director of the OSTABU, we'd like to thank Mark Walther and the MOAA team for providing us with this opportunity to give an update today. In fiscal year 2017, our worldwide small business goal was 11.5%. Preliminary data retrieved from the Federal Procurement Data System indicates the agency has awarded approximately 13% worldwide, which equates to more than $619 million to U.S. small businesses worldwide. To date, this represents the highest obligation to small business. We attribute this continued upward trajectory to a number of agency-wide actions. For example, we have increased outreach activities to educate our partners, and we have increased training to educate our technical and contracting officials. Also in 2017, the Small Business Office hosted training sessions in Washington, D.C., and missions in Thailand, India, the Philippines, South Africa, Colombia, Peru, Dominican Republic, Uganda, Tanzania, and West Bank, Gaza. During the training sessions, we explain the U.S. Small Business Program and the benefits of using it. We also highlight success stories of small business partners within the agency, and we provide instructions on conducting market research, developing subcontracting plans, and a myriad of other small business-related topics. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanisha. I want to turn now to some of our general questions that we get with the business forecast. Rather than go through all of the questions that we get on specific opportunities or activities that are on the forecast, we'd like to highlight just some general questions that we receive each quarter. I realize that some of these questions we probably, folks that have been listening to us for a while, have probably heard before, but we also recognize there's a lot of new folks that are joining us on the call each quarter. So I want to go over just a handful of just sort of generic questions or more general questions that we get on the forecast. Mark, this one comes up every time around this year. There's obviously a number of solicitations that are expected to be released either mid-December or early January. Similar to previous years, can USAID issue a notice to contracting agreement officers to be mindful of the holiday schedule?
Thanks, Matt. We clearly realize this is a busy time of year given the holiday season. And while we cannot mandate the prohibition of solicitation release in case of emergency or other urgent requirements, we have already sent a note to our staff, encourage them to take the holidays into account and to avoid scheduling solicitation closings during this period if possible.
Thank you, Mark. Next question just related to items being removed from the forecast. Is there a time frame that USAID decides to archive or remove things from the forecast, or is the standard practice that missions and bureaus should be following?
We definitely encourage staff to retain opportunities on the business forecast for one quarter after they are canceled. We will continue to message this to staff when providing guidance on the forecast to hopefully get good traction here.
Thank you. The next question is related to limited competition activities that are on the forecast. I think about a year and a half ago, we started including activities that are task orders under an IDIQ that are on the forecast. And so one partner noted that we've noticed a lot of opportunities on the forecast that appear as general opportunities and then get released under a leader with associate award or under an IDIQ and therefore not open to competitive bidding process. How does USAID provide clear indications on the forecast whether or not opportunities will have limited competition?
Well, we'll definitely work on encouraging planners to include as much information as early in the planning process as possible and to update the opportunities as information changes. In the event an opportunity will be satisfied under an existing LWA or IDIQ, we will instruct planners to identify the specific LWA and the IDIQ mechanism that will be used in the award description field. So we'll work on that effort as well.
And one suggestion that came in, can USAID add an origination date for opportunities to the forecast so that folks know when they first appear and when the opportunity is new and had not been previously forecasted?
Yeah, Matt, we will explore the possibility of adding a field to the future business forecast updates. We do work hand-in-hand with our MCIO office in regard to needed updates and areas where we can enhance the forecast. We'll continue to encourage planners to use the, quote, the forecast status change field to identify new opportunities not previously forecasted for appropriate actions and to update the status as the action moves through the pre-award phase. We would like to remind people that the business forecast users can also sort opportunities by updated date to see which entries have been recently modified.
Thank you, Mark. I want to shift away from the business forecast just for a bit, I think, because we got a limited number of, I think, general questions on the forecast. And also with it being a new fiscal year, we thought it maybe be important to cover just some topics that are relevant or important to partners moving forward this year. And we typically try and do an Ask the Procurement Executive phone call a couple times a year. But since we haven't done one of those in a little while, I thought maybe we could take this opportunity just to talk about some more broad initiatives, things moving forward in this fiscal year. So Tanisha, can you share a little bit about OSDBOO's plans and goals for fiscal year 2018?
Sure. Thank you, Matt. First, I'd like to announce that USAID's worldwide small business goal for fiscal year 2018 is 12%. At the beginning of this fiscal year, the agency initiated a Mission Small Business Goaling Program pilot. The purpose of the pilot is to expand the agency's U.S. Small Business Goaling Program to 15 individual missions. Previously, the small business goals were applied to the field on a regional basis. During this pilot program period, the agency will establish mission-level small business goals by reviewing and analyzing the historical small business accomplishment data and the acquisition and assistance plans respective to each mission. Ultimately, the goal is to fully implement the program to include all USAID missions.
Thank you, Lisa. I want to turn next to Randy. A lot of folks have heard the administrator and others talk about the agency redesign efforts. I'm sure many partners are aware that this is happening. Can you give a little insight or share any information about the redesign process and what it's covering?
Thank you, Matt. So Administrator Green has shared that he believes the purpose of foreign assistance should be ending its need to exist. And each of our programs should look forward to the day when it can end. And around the world, we should measure our work by how far each investment moves us closer to that day. So this means empowering countries to lead their own development through programs that incentivize reform, strengthen in-country capacity, and mobilize domestic resources. As you and our listeners may be aware, there are currently two reform processes underway, a joint reform process with the State Department and USAID, and USAID's internal reform process. With regard to the joint state USAID redesign, we are waiting for a green light from the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, which we expect to hear from by March 2018. So we're not able to go into details about the joint redesign, but I can tell you a bit about our own internal reform efforts. So these reforms are designed to advance Administrator Green's vision for the agency and focus on five key outcomes. First, the journey of our partner countries toward self-reliance leading in their own development. And this includes initiatives such as setting country transition metrics and legacy programs. Second, strengthening the core capabilities of USAID to support our partner countries. And this includes elevating humanitarian assistance and strengthening the link between the policy and budgeting functions. Third area is aligning with national security. We want to strengthen interagency coordination, and this includes continued improvements in our approach to civil-military cooperation. Number four, empowering people to lead represents continued HR reform and workforce planning. Number five, respecting taxpayers' investments will address issues such as reducing audit backlogs and effective partnering and procurement reform. So we're taking a thoughtful and deliberative approach that engages across the agency and with our partners in these reform efforts. Importantly, a key underlier to these reform efforts is building on the successes of previous administrations to implement Ambassador Green's vision.
Thank you, Randy. One thing you talked a little bit about is procurement reform. We've heard that's part of the redesign effort. Mark, I'm wondering if you can provide any additional details about procurement reform.
Sure thing, Matt. If you've heard had the opportunity to hear Administrator Green speak, you've likely heard him talk about changing landscape of development with technology, private financial investments in development, and the changing models of collaboration between the private and the public sector. Keeping with this shift, we want USAID's procurement processes to embrace creativity and entrepreneurship. We want to expand how we partner, embracing a model of development that increases opportunities for collaboration, co-design, and co-financing approaches that promote more partner engagement and opportunities for innovation. We want to prioritize excellence in program design and procurement approaches that enable opportunities for collaboration, along with other such efforts as locally led development, flexibility, innovation, and expanding the partner base. With this in mind, we are exploring how we can enhance our program design methods and our use of solicitations to include practices that invite the partner community to engage and collaborate. I know you're aware that the one mechanism that's been highlighted is the broad agency announcement. However, there are other areas of enhanced program engagement approaches that can also foster these efforts, such as concept papers and statement of objectives. We are also looking into expanding the use of our award approaches that are more outcome results focused. We're also trying to align budgets and outcomes more effectively. And we're also trying to build in some flexibilities to adjust or adapt to social, economic, and security challenges in our awards. As I know all of you are aware and realize, we do try to avoid situations where we pull an item from the business forecast. However, there are some circumstances where we feel that we are compelled to reconsider how we are approaching work and trying to adapt these new approaches that I've just gone over within our solicitations. A current example, DACHA's Bureau Active Communities Effective States, ACES, program is one that is being pulled back at this time from the business forecast. The scope of and the work and the activity like ACES are vital to the mission of USAID, but we want to make sure that we're more effectively including these approaches and engagements and flexibilities and building those into our solicitations and awards. With regard to the broader procurement reform initiative, we all recognize that there is already a lot that has been done. As Randy just noted, we want to build on the successes and lessons learned over the last few years. Many of you, our partners, have contributed greatly to these efforts. We continue to look forward to you and to new partners in the months ahead.
Thanks, Mark. While we're talking about this, I do want to have us highlight maybe a program that's coming up in early 2018. You'll seem to be launching a new program that embraces many of these key principles outlined by the administrator that specifically will target small businesses through the Small Business Applied Research Initiative. Deb, can you please share a little bit more about this initiative?
Sure. In early 2018, USAID will be issuing a broad agency announcement. It'll be called the Small Business Applied Research Initiative, or SBAR for short. The small business graduates from the Small Business Innovative Research Set-Aside Program, along with other small businesses, will be invited to participate in this activity. The initiative makes it easier to connect our development work with emerging cutting-edge technologies and solutions at a fraction of the typical research and development costs. The initiative will be run by our ANA labs in Frankfurt and South Africa, which support the Middle East and Europe and Eurasia region and Africa. The labs will assist the missions in developing their problem statements and will issue the broad agency announcement targeting small businesses. We anticipate a two-step solicitation process, the concept paper followed by a full proposal that will allow USAID to work with these small businesses to co-create and co-design solutions to problem statements. The current pilot is projected to include four areas: agriculture, energy, mobile communications technology, and water projects. So stay tuned in early 2018 for more information.
Thank you, Deb. I want to ask you just another question. Another initiative coming down the pike is OMB's from OMB's Office of Federal Procurement Policy, which is called Category Management. Can you provide any additional information on category management and its impact on USAID?
So category management is an approach that the federal government is applying to buy smarter and more like a single enterprise. It is being led by OMB and GSA jointly. Category management enables the government to eliminate redundancies, increase efficiency, deliver more value and savings from the government's acquisitions programs. It involves identifying core areas of spend, collectively developing heightened levels of expertise, leveraging shared best practices, and providing acquisition, supply, and demand management solutions. So there's more information on this on the GSA Acquisition Gateway website. If there's anyone that's not too familiar with this, it has been around. This initiative has been around for a while, but I just want to go into a little bit more on how it's going to impact USAID. So when category management is assessed, which is essentially the dividing up of the awards are tracked in categories by in FPDSNG, in our federal system, based on the type of awards they are assigned a predetermined tier type. So the number one tier, the best tier, is the best-in-class contract. And these are contracts that are open and can serve all federal agencies. The next level of tier is tier type two, and those awards can be used by multiple agencies for a particular common area of spend, but they're not classified as a best in class. Then there's a tier one award, which are specific to the agency and can be used across the agency. Tier zero awards or contracts are classified as unmanaged, and these are looked upon as being like one-offs, for a specific single award. In fiscal year 2018, the government established government-wide targets, and our target is to increase the best-in-class to 35% of available spend, and we're using the fiscal year 16 as our baseline. And then also, the second target is to decrease the unmanaged spend by 20%. To meet these goals, we're encouraging our staff to consider best-in-class contracts first before making any new awards, and to consider switching to a best-in-class contract at option year renewals. So far, most of the awards made by USAID to best-in-class contracts fall under the OASIS and Schedule 70 contracts. I would advise all of our implementing partners to monitor the contracts that are given best-in-class status, as every agency is being told that we must award to these best-in-class unless the agency can demonstrate that an exception is required. Again, where you find this information about best-in-class is on the GSA Gateway webpage.
Thank you, Deb. Just have one final question from Mark related to selection of instrument. I know this is the topic we've talked a lot about. Can you provide any update on the latest selection of instrument amplifying guidance?
Sure, Matt. MOA has updated the amplifying guidance based on prior comments from our partner community. Yesterday morning, Angelique Crumbly, our acting assistant administrator, sent an updated draft to each of the major partner associations for their final comments, and we're seeking their final inputs by January 8th, 2018. And then based on those comments, we'll be working collectively here along with and in coordination with our redesign and procurement reform and partner engagement efforts. We will continue to be reaching out to you, our partners, as we go forward in these areas and looking at other improvements as well. And as we continue our outreach, please always know that we welcome and appreciate particular areas of improvements, processes that we would benefit from, and taking deeper dives into those areas. So just as we had in the area of the allowability and host country taxes, and we've also continued to be working through consultant subcontractor questions that we're trying to provide further engagement on. We welcome these opportunities both to enhance the Administrator Green's vision and the redesign efforts in the areas of collaboration, co-design, co-creation, et cetera, as well as our traditional and our other areas of engagement in our acquisition and assistant processes. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That's the end of our time today. I want to thank everyone for joining us again. Just as a final reminder, we will be posting a recording of the call, as well as a transcript of the call and the full list of questions that were submitted and responses on our webpage later today. We'll notify you through our Twitter handle, which is at USAID BizOps, and through our email distribution list. So thank you once again, everyone.